Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
It's great to have you.
Great to be here.
Today we're going to cover part three, section one, on how we are to have our life in Christ. And we're going to cover why we were put on earth, what we are supposed to do, and how God's Holy Spirit helps us to do it. So the first question, Father, is why do we need faith and the sacraments in order to live a good, upright life?
Well, it's a great question, you know, and I love this part of the catechism because everything we've learned up to now we can now put into practice. The first part of the catechism was about the creed, the second part was about the sacraments, and now the third part is about living the life. And to live it authentically, which is our goal, which is the purpose of the sacraments. Obviously, the catechism is set up this way so that what we know by faith and the grace we receive in the sacraments is what we need to live the Christian life authentically. And we need the grace of the sacraments because anyone who tries to live the good life on their own steam, by their own resources, quickly finds out that it's extremely difficult. And, you know, the Lord calls us to a life that's more than simply a good life. As difficult as it is to live a good earthly life, the Lord calls us to an even higher life, namely the very life of the Blessed Trinity. We are called not only to be good humans, but to be participators in the divine life. And that requires grace. So we need the grace of the sacraments to live a good human life consistently. And in addition to that, we need grace to live this elevated heavenly life.
I think the catechism also goes even a little further and says that we're all to become saints, and we're all called to holiness. Mm. You don't hear that very often in the secular media about holiness, but on top of, like you say, just being good, we need more than that. We need to follow Christ and imitate Christ, and we need the grace of the sacraments, and we also need a faith that we really believe what Jesus said and did. We really believe that He's here with us. We really believe that God loves us.
Sure, that our faith actually motivates our actions, that it underlies our actions, that our faith gives us the principles by which we live our lives, and not just in big times, but our ordinary life. You know, we need the grace of the sacraments not just to do extraordinary things, but to do the ordinary things in life, to live every moment as faithful Catholics.
And not just to get to heaven, but we need the grace of God for every breath that we take. I mean, we're saved by grace in order to get to heaven, but as we live our lives, we need the grace of God if we're to do anything, because without the grace of God, we are nothing and can do nothing.
And the Lord wants to give us His grace. You know, He loves us. He knows that He knows that the plans He has for us are going to make us the happiest, that are going to be the best for us. But He also knows that our own resources are wholly inadequate to accomplish the plans He has for us. So He gives us His grace. He gives us His help. When we talk about grace, we mean the special help of God, personal help of God. And that's what we mean by grace. And that personal help that the Lord extends to us, to each of us individually, as individual persons, He loves us as if we were the only person in the world, and His help for us, His grace for us, is that individual and that loving.
I remember in seventh grade when we were at Sacred Heart of Jesus grade school in Wadsworth, the nuns, we had the Vincentian Sisters of Charity, and one of the exercises was to spend 5 minutes just thinking about hell and what that would be like. But then she gave us 10 minutes to think about heaven. And I think if we really spend time on a regular basis considering and pondering what heaven is going to be like, then we can not only know the love of God, but we can realize that because he loves us, he wants us to be with him forever. And not just me and God, but with our loved ones, our family, our friends, and a whole bunch of people that we haven't met yet.
Yeah, the Lord wants us to be, he wants every human being that he created in his image to enjoy the perfect happiness that he himself enjoys in heaven, the life of the blessed, and he gives us what we need to live that life. And he doesn't give it begrudgingly, he gives it in super abundance. You know, his help for us is something he wants to do, he loves to do, and he's, if we can say that, God's very enthusiastic about helping us, and he's more enthusiastic about us getting to heaven than we are about getting to heaven, because he knows what awaits us and what his plans, the great happiness his plans will bring in our life.
Mm-hmm. So in chapter one, we're going to talk about the dignity of the human person. What reasons do Christians give for human dignity?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question, you know. Why are humans special? You know, in the creation story, God created everything, but he created especially, in a special way, the human person, and that was the height of his creation. And he created human person in his own likeness and image, the sacred scripture tells us, meaning that he created us like himself, free and intelligent, so that we could know the truth and love others and share in his goodness, share in his glory. And he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to take on our nature so that we could share in that life fully by being united to Christ, who restores, by his death and resurrection, restores the dignity of the human person, restores the image of God in us.
I think it's also why, as Catholics, we are so adamant about every person becoming a person at the first moment of conception in the womb. And, you know, we have this attack on our beliefs as pro-life people, but mostly because we're people of God, we have this dignity about the human person from the very beginning. And when we strive so hard to protect the right of that person and the dignity of that person, and I think it's important that we realize why. And you said it, we're made in the image and likeness of God.
Sure. And we're made in the image and likeness of God. And even more than that, we have the possibility now, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to actually share in the life of the Blessed Trinity. Something unheard of, something impossible before Jesus Christ came. And that emphasizes the dignity of the human person. That now, unlike every other created reality, only human persons now have that possibility to share in the divine life.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And then also in the Catechism, she quotes St. Teresa of Avila, "Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes. God never changes. Patience obtains all. Whoever has God wants for nothing. God alone is enough." So again, as you said earlier, I think it's so important. I know as a man, I used to have this attitude and this mentality that if it's to be, it's up to me. And now it's like, Lord, you know what I want, but your will be done, not mine. Please give me the grace to know your will, and then the grace to follow through and actually do your will. So I think it's important that we realize that we can't do anything on our own. We have to constantly always rely on the grace of God.
Sure, and God, you know, God's will is for our happiness. So when we say we do something in accordance with God's will, we're really doing what will bring us happiness. And God wants us to be happy. That's why he created us. In fact, he wants us to participate in his happiness. And he created that us specifically so that we could only be fully happy by being united with God forever in heaven. That the happiness we desire at the natural level is really points to this supernatural happiness that we desire, namely to live with God in personal, intimate relation, to share in the life of the Trinity, to be happy as only God, an unimaginable happiness. The very happiness of God, who is completely happy, who's infinitely happy, who's there's no shred of unhappiness in God.
So, Father, why do we yearn for happiness?
Yeah, well, that's the way God created us. That everything we do, we are naturally inclined to doing what we think will make us happy. And unfortunately, some people choose actions that they think will make them happy, but in fact will not. And we call those sins. People sin, they take drugs, or they're in illicit relationships, or whatever, or they steal, or they lie, because they think somehow that will make them happy. But in fact, it will only lead to their unhappiness, because it compromises their dignity, it diminishes their freedom, it crimps their intelligence, it has all kinds of deleterious effects on their person. But most importantly, it has the effect of hindering our road to heaven.
Wouldn't you say, Father, that a lot of us who are unhappy are actually yearning for God, and we don't even know it?
Exactly.
Would you say that?
No, I think that hits the nail on the head there. That, you know, that St. Augustine, our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O Lord. The idea that, the good things of this world are good, and we should pursue them, and they do give us a certain degree of happiness, but ultimately they will not satisfy our longing for happiness. Only God will in heaven. And that's why He gives us the grace of the sacraments. The grace of the sacraments give us a share in the divine life, allow us to act. They change us. They make us like God. They make us like Jesus Christ. And the sacraments make us exactly like Jesus Christ, because in order for a human person to share in the divine life, they need to be like Jesus Christ.
Well said. Does sacred scripture speak about a way to happiness?
Absolutely. Part of the purpose of sacred scripture, the reason that the teachings that we find in sacred scripture were committed to writing, was so that every mind might understand how to attain this happiness, namely to believe in Jesus Christ and to obey his commandments.
And I think Jesus best told us when he had the Sermon on the Mount and went through the Beatitudes, which is going to be our next show. We'll talk about the Beatitudes in greater detail. Well, Father, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been with Father Maturi. And listeners, I'd like to thank you for joining us for Faith with Father. We've been going through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we've been covering Part 3, Section 1. So until next time, may the good Lord bless you and yours. God bless you. Bye now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.